बिहारी
Obi.
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 11. Svayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Text 29.
Tamena mangatmani mukta vigrahe. Tamena mangatmani mukta vigrahe. व्यापाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानमन्विच्छविमुक्तमात्मदृक्
यस्मिन्निदं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते
तमेन मङ्गात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे
व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणम् एकम् अक्षरम्
आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृक्
यस्मिन्निदं भेदम् असत् प्रतीयते
तमेन मङ्गात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे
व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणम् एकमक्षरम्
आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग्
यस्मिन्निदं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते
तमेन मङ्गात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे
व्यपाशितं निर्गुणम् एकमक्षरम्
आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग्
यस्मिन्निदं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते
Thank you very much. Word for word. Tam.
Tam.
Him.
Him.
Enam.
Enam.
That.
That.
Anga.
Anga.
My dear Dhruva.
My dear Dhruva.
Atmani.
Atmani.
In the mind.
In the mind.
Mukta vigrahe.
Mukta vigrahe.
Free from anger.
Free from anger.
Vyapashritam.
Vyapashritam.
Situated.
Situated.
Nirgunam.
Nirgunam.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Ekam.
Ekam.
One.
One.
Aksharam.
Aksharam.
The infallible Brahman.
The infallible Brahman.
Atmanam,
Atmanam,
the self,
self.
Unvichha,
Unvichha,
try to find out,
try to find out.
Vimuktam,
Vimuktam,
uncontaminated,
uncontaminated.
Atmadurk,
Atmadurk,
facing towards the super soul,
facing towards the super soul.
Yasmin,
Yasmin,
in which,
in which.
Idam,
Idam,
this,
this.
Bhedam,
Bhedam,
differentiation,
differentiation.
Sat,
Asad.
Unreal.
Unreal.
Pratiyate.
Pratiyate.
Appears to be.
Appears to be.
Translation. My dear Dhruva, please, therefore, turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Base the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus, by self-realization, you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entities have three kinds of vision, according to their positions in self-realization. According to the bodily concept of life, one sees differentiation in terms of varieties of bodies. The living entity actually passes through many varieties of material forms, but despite all such changes of body, he is eternal. When the living entities, therefore, are viewed in the bodily concept of life, one appears to be different from another. Lord Manu wanted to change the vision of Dhruva Maharaj, who was looking upon the Yakshas as different from him or as his enemies. Factually, no one is an enemy or a friend. Everyone is passing through different types of bodies under the law of karma. But as soon as one is situated in his spiritual identity, does not see differentiation in terms of this law. In other words, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 1854, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madhaktim Labhate Param. A devotee who is already liberated does not see differentiation in terms of the outward body. He sees all living entities as spirit souls, eternal servants of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised by Lord Manu to see with that vision. He was specifically advised to do so because he was a great devotee and should not have looked upon other living entities with ordinary vision. Indirectly, Manu pointed out to Dhruva Maharaj that out of material affection, Dhruva thought of his brother as his kin and the Yakshas as his enemies. Such observation of differentiation subsides as soon as one is in his original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakantam Shcha He Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Tamenam anganatmani mukta vigrahe vyapashritam nirgunam ekamaksharam atmanam anvichhavimuktam atmadrug yasmin idam bhedam asat pratiyate. Svayambhuva Manu is using the language of a self-realized soul to bring Dhruva Maharaj from the vision of a materially designated person to that of a self-realized soul himself. He says in the first line, Tamenam angatmani mukta vigrahe. He uses the word Anga to describe Dhruva Maharaj as his son. Anga is generally used to describe a limb or a part of something. So he's explaining how there's a connection between him and Dhruva. Generally, in the bodily concept of life, we think ourselves independent, discrete units, discrete objects, discrete persons who are unrelated to the environment, a stark division. This is established by the false ego, who wants us to think we're independent. We want to be the enjoyer. But if I feel that I'm in some way interdependent on another person, then my enjoyment is also dependent. And so the false ego shuts down that realization, blinds us to our interdependence so that we can maintain the illusion of being independent enjoyers. That's the way in which people can live without empathy. If you have empathy, you know how your actions will impact another person. And then it becomes more difficult to exploit someone else for your own pleasure. You know what it's doing to the other person. You know there's an interdependent reaction. But even in the bodily concept of life, it's possible to evolve to little bit higher standards of consciousness. This is the modes of material nature, how they are graded from ignorance to passion and to goodness. In the mode of passion, we may think I'm completely independent. But, or ignorance, we may think I'm completely independent. But as one evolves, he finds himself as part of a larger group. And he wants to cooperate. Perhaps it's for a selfish goal, ultimately. Yet he yields his immediate interests to the cause of a greater group. That is a more sensitive realization. It's an upgrade of consciousness. And it becomes very prominent. Even in almost every person has some experience of this, no matter how degraded they are in the case of their parents. They do want to serve their parents. Even if they think in every other relationship in their life they're completely independent, still they have some fidelity, some loyalty to their parents. And so the word here of Anga underscores that relationship of father-son, grandfather, in this case, great-grandfather and son, Dhruva Maharaj, grandfather and son. If we can apply that consciousness of being part and parcel to the Supreme Lord, then we completely transcend. understanding my relationship to my parents and serving them is nice. It's the material mode of goodness. It's gratitude for what we've received, and taking the humble position, prideless position, and serving. This is the mode of goodness. But if we can learn to see from that platform of goodness, we will be able to see our relationship with Krishna, who is actually the origin of everything, including us. It appears that our parents are our origin, but our actual origin is Krishna. Because the parents are the origin of the body, but I'm not the body. Krishna is the origin of everything, including the spiritual reality. Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Living entities are eternally my parts and parcels. Amsa. He uses amsa, just like anga. Similar word. Mamaivamsa.
Amsa means what?
Yeah, amsa means, in this verse, mamaivamsa, you're my part of me. Mamaivamsa. Yeah. Jiva loke. Jiva bhuta sanatana. These living entities are eternally my parts and parcels. Here, anga is used. So we learn to graduate from the lower modes of consciousness to mode of goodness, and finally to see from that place of goodness through the eyes of Shastra, transcendental goodness, my relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, if we're completely immersed in the modes of ignorance, it's very difficult to see transcendental goodness. We can't even see material goodness so clearly. We'll think the person who's deeply immersed in self-destruction, in cynicism, too much sleep, too much intoxication, he thinks that persons who are controlling their senses are humble and are performing austerity, scrupulously truthful, clean. He thinks they're wasting their time. And so when he sees a devotee who's in the transcendental goodness, it's almost like he's blind, can't even see that person. Just so radically outside of his scope of perception, his realm of not perception, but conception. His way of understanding the world just doesn't have room for devotional service to God. But as one evolves a little through the modes of nature, one can gradually see more value in devotional service and get a little spark of faith. Take it up himself. That's why Rupa Goswami says that it's very important for a devotee to control his senses. In Nectar of Instruction, the first verse is describing the qualification of a spiritual master. Vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapashta vegam, etan vegam, yo. For someone to be a spiritual master, he has to be able to control the urges of his tongue, his belly, his genitals, like a straight line. He needs to be able to control his mind, his words, and his anger also. So these are actually just the qualifications of the mode of goodness to control these pushings. It's not exactly spiritual, but it qualifies one to understand spiritual consciousness. So by this word anga, he is bringing Dhruva up from the level of complete distinction, seeing himself as completely independent. He's taking Dhruva out of that deep misconception. The second word used to underscore this is It is the conclusive statement at the end. Yasmin idam bhedam asat pratiyate. That bhedam is asat. Your idea of absolute distinction, bheda, difference, is asat. It's not correct. While it's true that that everything is not completely discrete units of existence with no relationship to each other or to the Supreme, at the same time, everything is not simply one either. It's not simply a bheda. Simply, everything is one. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses the term bheda in his philosophy, but he pairs it with abheda and achintya, and that's the tattva, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya, bheda, abheda, tattva is the name of the philosophy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu espouses. Achintya means it's inconceivable. Achintya. Bheda bheda tattva. The translation Srila Prabhupada gives for that is inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different philosophy. And almost every Vaishnava school accepts this philosophy. Almost every Vaishnava school accepts this philosophy. It goes under different names, and because of those different names, it indicates very slight differences on certain points. But for us, it's almost indistinguishable because we're not steeped in that those philosophical traditions to find all those little differences. For example, there's one school called Vishishtadvaita, which means qualified non-dual. Like, it's not dual, but there's a statement that needs to be said to preface that, because actually it's not merely non-dual. There are also dualities. So, again, it's Veda Veda. And then there's Dvaita Dvaita, which is another Vaishnava philosophy, which means it's dual, but not dual. We can't find any difference between these two terms on face value, but when you dive a little into the philosophy, with practice and study, you can find some distinction there if that's what you're looking for. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is on the same lines. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The use of the word achintya is distinct, though, which shows that it's inconceivable also. We can't fully understand our relationship with the Lord, and that forces us to be humble, which is a very beautiful point also. Humility is underscored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. He says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Trinadapi sunichena means that one should be humbler than a blade of grass or a straw in the street. Taror, like a tree, Taror api sahishnuna. You should be as tolerant as a tree. Amanina manadena. Wanting no respect for oneself and offering all respect to others. In that condition, kirtaniya sadahari. One can always chant the name of the Lord. One can always chant Hari's holy name. Bhagavad Gita says in Krishna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarga yanti parantapa. It's 727. It'll be page 320. O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. So this is the danger of seeing oneself completely independently. The intention of the conditioned soul in being independent is so he can enjoy without any repercussion, without any obstacle. It's an illusion, but that's the idea. However, there are vicious side effects, duality and hate. Icha, dvesha. Icha, it means desire. Want something. And my guess is that that's where we get the word itch also. I've got an itching for something, a desire. Why is that? What does that have to do? Because I'm thinking I'm different from that thing, and I need that thing to be happy. But if I'm already connected to it, then that dulls the separation anxiety from that thing. And I understand that there's a substance beneath myself and that thing which unifies us, and that substance is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may understand him as Brahma, as Paramatma, or as Bhagavan, but it's the same non-dual substance. Vedanti tat tat vidas. Second line. Then it says Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate, which means that learned souls, scholars who know the truth of this non-dual substance, describe it variously as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, but it's the same non-dual substance. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He has a localized expansion as Paramatma, who's all pervasive but individual, and then also can be understood as simply an all pervasive oneness without any distinction. Like there's a sun in the sky, inside that sun is Suryadev, a person. Then there's the sun globe, which is his expanded energy but localized. And then, from there, sunlight is diffused everywhere. Brahma, Brahman. In the same way, Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna's body. The light of Krishna, his aura, his halo. And so, when we come to that platform that Prabhupada describes in his purport of Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma no shochati na kankshati, when we come to that Brahma-Bhuta platform, we're Prasanatma, completely happy, because we're not in this duality of I need this thing to be happy. And the flip side of it, Vaisha, I hate that thing. Again, if there's that substance connecting us, I can't hate it without hating something that I feel connected with. And it's like, some of that hate spills over onto me. And it's a fact, when we hold hatred toward anyone else, we hold it on our own head also. Haters aren't happy. It's just how it is. Doesn't matter how much philosophy they can justify, they're not happy. The nature of the soul is Satchidananda, to be eternally full of knowledge and bliss. That's only possible on Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, to be in the Brahman platform, the spiritual platform. And we understand the highest platform of Brahma is Parabrahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. You get there by chanting Hare Krishna. Then na sochati na kankshati, no lamentation, no itching.
It's also the desire.
Yeah, kankshati is the 18 was 1854. It says nashod kankshati is desires. Yeah. No lamentation, no desire. That's the same language as this ichadvesha. No itching, no hatred. Peaceful. And this is also confirmed in 529. For one who knows Krishna to be the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, and the supreme friend, he's completely peaceful. So this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is giving Dhruva Maharaj that kind of thematic instruction that we find throughout Bhagavad Gita again and again, that all your anxiety is due to lack of Krishna consciousness. Turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Being fully attentive to Krishna. Being attentive in general is the mode of goodness, and it brings us to an ability to be attentive to the Supreme Lord. It raises our knowledge capacity so that we can rise up to the level of Krishna consciousness. So actually, what happens, you become knowledgeable, and what's knowledge? The first qualification of knowledge is pridelessness and humility. In that humble position, you surrender to the Lord, and He pulls you up to the transcendental platform. It's not that we climb up to the transcendental platform by our own power, but we know in the mode of goodness that it's time to surrender, and the Lord then picks us up out of His love. Okay. Anything? Any questions or comments, please?
I have one more. I forgot it. I don't remember at all. Maybe next time I'll ask something that comes up instead of
waiting. I'm long-winded.
No, I just, you know, I don't want to cut you off or anything. And then, you know, if I remember it, I'll finish it at the end of this time.
Okay. Let's see, I can ask you a question. Prabhupada is talking in this verse about how factually no one is an enemy or a friend. Everyone is passing through different types of bodies under the law of karma, but as soon as one is situated in spiritual identity, he doesn't see differentiation in terms of this law. So, how does a devotee